Welcome to From the Heart of HSP, where we bring you real conversations about what it takes to care for animals and the communities that love them. I'm Dave Paloff, the Chief Executive Officer here at the Humane Society Pinellas, and today's episode is all about partnership. Whether you've wondered how animal services, nonprofits, and everyday residents work together to reduce animal homelessness in our community, this conversation's definitely for you. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Renner, our wonderful director over at Pinellas County Animal Services. We're talking about how our two organizations and the larger animal welfare community and network respond to everything from everyday pet needs to community-wide crisis. Here in Pinellas County, we truly face some unique challenges. High population density, a strong pet-loving culture in our community, and limited housing stock or housing resources. But those challenges are also what makes our collaborative approach so incredibly powerful and special. From keeping pets in homes to ensuring accountability when animals are at risk, from disaster relief to long-term planning for a no-kill county, today's episode is packed with examples of shared responsibility that leads to better outcomes for the pets in our community. So whether you're a longtime supporter, a fellow shelter partner, or someone just starting to learn about this kind of work in this field, we're glad you're here with us. So animal homelessness, anywhere really, but specifically here in Pinellas County, it isn't an isolated issue. It really truly is a community-wide concern, a community-wide challenge. And it requires really shared solutions and strong partnerships and responsibility to address those issues. And in Pinellas County's unique characteristics really shape how we respond, right? With the things I just talked about, the limited housing stock, the high density population that we have here. So when we talk about animal homelessness in our community specifically, it's really just easy to picture the old institutionalized shelter environment, right? You know, that kind of that doom and gloom, overpopulated, right? Pets everywhere. But it's really truly a reflection of everything that's happening in our community. And that's what really makes it a community-based problem. From housing to income, to public services or a lack thereof in order to meet the demand that's out there. From your perspective as our municipal partner, what is your take on those current challenges here in Pinellas County?
You're absolutely right, Dave. Pinellas is definitely a mixture of unique characteristics. We are the second smallest county in Florida. We are the most densely populated. We have nearly a million residents here, and you know, almost every family has at least one pet. So we are, you know, jam-packed here in Pinellas, and you know, we go from areas that are urban to also areas that are more spread out and have horses and goats and pigs. And we even ran across a zebra one time in Tarpon Springs. So we do have very unique characteristics here in Pinellas County, which can make it more challenging, but can also make us more creative. And certainly in our methods in addressing homelessness. And then, like you said, too, we have different economic circumstances. We have a housing crisis that we're dealing with right now, yep. Rent that's tripled. And so we have to be able to pivot and address that as well when we're thinking about homelessness and how we can help the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So given the diversity of those needs, our approaches to animal homelessness and really looking at it from the root cause or performing root cause analysis, right, in each individual case, right, because there is no one size fits all. Everybody's situation is different. Our approaches to it in both of our organizations have to be just as diverse. How do we both stay flexible, or how do you stay flexible in response to that model, right, in having a unique approach to everybody's situation within the county?
And I think you hit the nail on the head there. We, in this field in general, one of the traits that every single person that works in this industry needs to be incredibly flexible. And I tell my staff that every day. You know, I want you to be flexible. I want you to be creative. You know, every person, first of all, we need to meet people where they're at.
That's right.
And everybody's circumstances are a little bit different.
That's right.
We have people coming into our shelter to reclaim their pets that had maybe spent a couple nights in jail, or they went to the hospital,
or
someone in their family passed away. And we need to meet those people where they're at with compassion and empathy, but also educate them on responsible pet ownership. So we have to, I don't want to say good cop, bad cop, but we have to be able to educate in a way that people are going to be open to it, are going to take it in and use that information to help them to get better.
Yes, absolutely. And that's just the one thing that we talk about frequently here at HSP and with our team members and our volunteers. You know, maybe the 10th time you've heard that story today, right? Mm-hmm. From that individual reaching out to us for help or assistance, but it's that individual's first time, right? So you always have to demonstrate empathy and be reflective in your approach, right? Because every individualized scenario or situation, right, is different, right? It truly is different. And it may be the 10th time you've heard that similar scenario, it is unique to that individual. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to bridge those concerns, right, and find the right resources for that individual, because both of our organizations are so much more than just an animal shelter. Right. We really provide some social services to the community. Right. Shelter diversion, things like pet food pantry or our program here at HSP Senior Pet Connection to help those individuals keep their pets in their homes. Because even though both of our organizations have undergone some really transformative projects recently. Right. We're sitting in our brand new adoption building, Pinellas County Animal Services. I was just at their ribbon cutting mm-hmm. on Friday for their new medical facility and new remodeled housing areas. It's not a you know, that institutionalized feeling anymore. It's still a last resort. You know, pets, despite all the things we do for them, and as nice as these facilities are, it's still, they're not meant to be here. They're meant to be in homes. So if we can provide the resources and bridge the gaps before they get to this point, that's really our ultimate goal. So when we look at national comparisons, you know, across the board, how do we perform here in Pinellas County in terms of shelter intakes and outcomes, especially as we talk about the high density population that we have here in Pinellas County?
I think because we are such a high density, like you just said, we have a million people and a very diverse cultures as well in Pinellas County. We are a great microcosm of what's happening out there in the nation. So when you look at our numbers, we're actually right on trend.
Right.
We were, I want to say 2023, we were an 82% overall life-saving rate. Right. And nationally, it was somewhere between 81 and 82%.
Right.
So we were right there on trend. That doesn't mean we don't need to improve.
Right.
But that just means that we are a great example of how every small improvement we make can make a big difference nationally if right. we're setting that trend, if people are looking to us. And we're putting things, like we always talk, Dave, about putting Pinellas first.
That's right.
And working
that's
together
right.
as a community. And I think that's huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it really, it's a great segue into my next question here and the next topic. And that's, you know, it really starts with animal homelessness as a community-based problem. It really starts with prevention and addressing that root cause, right? And keeping pets out of the shelter, because unfortunately, no matter how we slice it, there's always going to be a need,
right?
There's always
mm-hmm.
going to be a need. There's, as much as we would like to dream of a day of an empty shelter, it's really probably not going to be a reality at any point, but we want to get to a point where we can manage it effectively, right?
Mm-hmm.
And work with our community to keep pets in homes, right? So it starts with that prevention piece. So through licensing and microchipping, supportive services such as Pet Food Pantry and other social service programs, community partnerships that really offer alternatives to surrender, how does your organization focus on those root cause scenarios and the prevention piece and keeping pets out of the shelter?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's the key. That I think the biggest change in animal sheltering is that we have moved to more of a social services based model. And so moving from the pound,
yeah.
moving from the dog catcher, trying to educate our community that we are here to help you. We serve you.
Right.
We have services and resources available to you. Please come see us. Don't be afraid to come into the shelter. Because when they walk in, I think they're going to be surprised.
Right.
They may walk in with one intent, and that might be to surrender their pet and leave with a bag of dog food, a free week with a dog trainer, maybe a voucher for free services to get their pet vaccinated or spayed or neutered. And so we really want to educate, to really encourage people to come in and talk to us before they get to the point where they feel hopeless and they feel like they have to turn their pet in.
Right. Before they get to that last resort option.
Right.
Right. And while organizations like us here at HSP and you at Animal Services are here for that last resort option, we really want to try to avoid it as much as possible, and get rid of those or move forward from those old stereotypes,
right?
Of having, to make those decisions of a last resort and being more of that resource, right? And preventing getting to that point, we're so much more than that now, as we've matured as a resource to the community. So, and here at HSP, we every day, it's not even often, it's every day we see families on the brink of those scenarios and those situations, struggling with food costs, exorbitant groceries, same thing with pet food, vet bills. But it's not even vet bills. It's even gets before that point. It's access to care.
Yeah.
Right. It's,
exactly.
It's folks that have income restrictions. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad pet owner or they shouldn't have a pet in their family. But they should be able to have access to care and affordable care to be able to maintain the health of their pet. Or behavior challenges, and here we're very fortunate. We have a behavior and training manager here that is well educated and well certified to provide those services, not only to our shelter pets here, but be a resource to those in the community before they get to the point to where they can no longer manage behavioral concerns. Or support like temporary fostering, of course, the pet food assistance through a pet food pantry that really kind of bring all the pieces together. But it's really more or less about, sheltering or versus ownership. It's about what support system exists to keep families together.
Yes.
And do you have a specific story or example you have in mind where Animal Services really stepped up even recently or not too distant a memory that helped avoid or keep a pet out of the shelter?
I have so many great stories. But one, actually, I was working late one night and this gentleman came into the shelter and his dog had been impounded 3 times within a couple weeks. And his dog was actually on the adoption floor. And he said to the ASR or animal service rep at the front desk, I was not going to come back in and reclaim my dog. But, I started feeling bad and looked at the pictures. And so I'm here. And I walked over to him and I said, what's going on? Why does he keep ending up here? It's been 3 times in 2 weeks. And he said, well, he's destroying my house when I go to work. So I put him out in the backyard. And then he found a way to get out that fence, dig underneath the fence. And I said to him, have you thought about trying to crate him when you're at work? Have you ever given that a try? And he's like, honestly, no, I didn't even think of that. I was putting him in a room. He was chewing through the door. And so I went in the back. We had donated crates. I got one of those, Kong XL super heavy duty crates, gave him the crate. He put it on his truck and we haven't seen that dog since.
Fantastic.
And so, it's little things like that, but then our officers are out there building outdoor enclosures and, like you said, giving them pet food and vouchers. And we've come a long way to really problem solving and helping the community.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you talked about how your ACOs, your animal control officers are out in the field providing those resources, right? And that's, getting away from that old adage that, the dog catcher, they're just here to give me a hard time. They're going to give me a ticket, right? No, not at all, right? While that is a tool in a toolbox, right? It is usually the last tool of last resort because we want to be able to provide. We want to keep. We don't want pets in the shelter, right? We want them in homes, right? So being able to provide those resources other than jumping right to what would be perceived as a negative consequence, right, for something that was unintentional is not something that any of us want to see or do in this community or really in any community. moving forward, because unfortunately, there's not going to be a shortage of pets that need our services here as a last resort. So we want to keep pets in homes where they belong. So talking more along the lines of the accountability and enforcement piece, it doesn't stop at the shelter doors or out in the field with animal control officers. Public agencies and nonprofits, we work together with the public to ensure pets are treated humanely and responsibly. Recently, the community saw animal services take strong action by revoking a pet store's license or dealer permit due to animal welfare issues. It's a topic we've long talked about here in Pinellas County. That made people ask the question and call us here at HSP, as I'm sure at your organization as well, what else is being done to protect animals behind closed doors?
And I think it's important for the community to know that, we can't be everywhere at once. We have a small team. We have a lot of ground to cover and a lot of people in the county. And so we really, while we work for you, for the residents, we also work with you. And we need the community to, if they see any kind of mistreatment or neglect, to please call and report it. That is the only way for us to truly get ahead of it and to actually be everywhere at once.
Right.
And so really that partnership is so important.
Yes, absolutely. Get it in the queue, right?
Right.
Notify. It's the verbiage that we've been utilizing for some time now, and it really is applicable to everything. Mm-hmm. See something, say something.
Right.
And that's across the board as it relates to, our furry friends, our mm-hmm. fur babies, our four-legged family members, right? If you see something, say something. That's what we're all here for, but that's really mm-hmm. specifically what Animal Services is here for, right? To make sure that, the care, proper care and custody, and maintenance of animals are being maintained within the county, and that includes retail pet stores as well. So talking a little bit more along the lines of enforcement and accountability, we had a very unfortunate instance happen here last year. Thankfully, we have some really great lawmakers, right, our elected officials that really push forward aggressively mm-hmm. and very quickly.
Very thankful
mm-hmm. for them. So laws like Dexter's Law, right? This is really what we're talking about, are born out of tragedy, which happened mm-hmm. here in Pinellas County. It really shows us how policy can catch up to public values, right? And what the public expects of each other, really, to be honest. But enforcement really takes collaboration and public awareness, right? The whole education piece. From your perspective, how can the public really be part of that accountability? You talked a little bit about that, mm-hmm. right? See something, say something. But beyond that, how can they really be more a part of accountability, whether it's reporting those concerns or choosing to adoption, right, over maybe adopt, right, don't shop, mm-hmm. Or seeing something, saying something, and those ethical sources, right, that are available. What do you wish more people understood about the role of animal services in creating a humane community as it relates to all those factors?
Well, I think we saw this year, as far as legislation goes, we saw Dexter's Law, Trooper's Law, the Pam Rock Act, which yes. actually helped modify our dangerous dog rules yep. with liability. We're seeing that animals our pets and animals in general are very important to the community.
Yes.
And so really my wish is, and we saw in Dexter's with his trial, we saw the community just join together, and they were outside every single time that trial ended up, going to court, really having their voices heard.
Yes.
And I think that helped for legislators to see just how important animals are.
Yes.
And help to push those laws forward, and have three pass in one session, I think is certainly monumental, and it speaks volumes of where we're at. And I think that just the community in general just stepping up and not letting these things be forgotten.
Yes.
And giving a voice to the voiceless. We talk about that a lot too. And so really I just encourage the community to get involved.
Yes.
And to certainly write to your legislators and to show up to the commission meetings.
Yep.
If you're concerned, we have time for the public to voice. They have 3 minutes to
That's
speak
right.
and voice their concerns. And, we ask that you do that.
Yeah.
I think it really just helps for us to shape and understand where we need to go.
Yes, absolutely. And that really helps us too as a nonprofit, even though we're not government funded, right? Like our partners in Animal Services, the purpose of what we do in the community as really any nonprofit in the community is to help fill the gaps that government can't. Mm-hmm. So that's where our partnership comes into play in helping that fill those gaps that are left due to constraints on the government side as well. And that's another example of how we partner and work together in pushing forward some of these legislative actions. I attended with our director of development, Humane Lobby Day in Tallahassee, and we were there for some of those conversations. And we met with our legislators to really help and push forward and move those laws through the process and talk about their importance. So that's another example of how our partnership, you know, works together to better serve this community. Another really key important aspect that came out of that is really a database, right? Mm-hmm. A database right. that we've been talking about for years, the need for in the state of Florida, where we're going to be able to have a centralized statewide place to go and find, potential offenders mm-hmm. or folks that have been convicted of animal-related crimes or crimes against animals, which will help with our adoption process. So we're not, contributing are being cyclical, right, in that environment, because that really didn't exist prior to Dexter's and some of these other legislative acts that have passed this year. So another huge important aspect, we've gone leaps and bounds here, not just locally, but throughout the state of Florida. So another great resource and tool that we'll have in our toolbox. So moving on from some of those sensitive, hard to talk about topics, not that this one's going to be any easier to talk right. about, but maybe a little less difficult or sensitive, is really crisis and disaster relief. You know, we are in Pinellas County, we're a peninsula on a peninsula.
Right.
Right. I mean, it doesn't get more interesting than that. Mm-hmm. Right. And unfortunately, last year we were heavily impacted by storms in our community, and all of our community resources, our partners at Animal Services, we here at HSP, as well as some other animal welfare organizations, our network of folks here in the county really stepped up mm-hmm. to provide some key and critical resources to the community at a time where it was really needed the most. So really, whether it's a hurricane or some type of housing crisis, which we experienced, right? We had a double whammy, right? Where and we're still experiencing some housing issues and crisis as a result of those storms. Emergency preparedness and rapid response really rely on the pre-existing partnerships, like right. the one that we have, right, to respond to the community's needs. And when those two storms, Helene and Milton, really hit our region hard last year, we saw hundreds of families displaced, and certainly pets too, right? Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier, each household averages one pet, right? And it's in this community, it really stretched all of us to our limits. How was that from your perspective, some of those challenges as you experienced those storms, what were they and how did you respond to them?
Well, you know, and I think Pinellas is very proactive. I will say our emergency management team is phenomenal. We have pet-friendly transportation arranged. They can get on the buses during evacuation. We have great messaging. We have the ability to house special needs pets for those individuals who have to go into a special needs shelter. And then we open the three biggest schools to make sure we have enough room for people and their pets. But like you said, during Milton, we had over 1,400 animals.
Yeah.
As compared to maybe 150 to 200 previous times. So it was a real test.
Yes.
I will say that, Dave, like you said, having those partnerships already in place was huge.
Right.
We almost ran out of crates.
Right.
And I know I was probably on the phone with you 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, letting you know, like, we're getting really low. Do you have anything, you know, that could you help us? And I mean, the community stepped up, yeah. You stepped up. We were able to make sure that every pet coming into those shelters had a safe place to stay.
Yes.
That was one example. But yes, Pinellas County, we recognize that we are very vulnerable and that we're on that peninsula and we are right. jam-packed. While I wish everybody could evacuate, I know that's not a possibility.
Right.
So we have to be ready.
That's right. That's right. That's why it's so important. We at HSP, just as Animal Services does, we attend numerous hurricane preparedness outreach events leading up to the season, throughout the season, and of course, leading into the height of the season, which we're just entering now, right? Actually, we have a couple systems out there now that just, you know, the date churned into August 1st as we enter the height, and here we are, right? We have some systems out there we're keeping an eye on. It really is paramount to have those relationships in place to be successful, especially when you talk about having a community as densely populated as we are. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, evacuating tens of miles. We don't have to go hundreds of miles, right? And having those preparedness family, individual family plans in place prior to the time that, you know, the weather folks get on the TV stations or the radios and start talking about, oh, we have something out there we're keeping an eye on. Those preparedness plans should be well in place long before that even happens. And that's for your pets as well, too, right? Having at least seven days of everything, right, associated for yourselves and your pets as well. But here at HSP, we staffed a pet-friendly shelter for the county last year in Palm Harbor for, I think it was more than a week.
It might have been closer to two weeks.
I think it was 2 weeks. You know, we're prepared to do that again, and as we always are, and step up and help fill those gaps. And Milton and Helene were major tests for us last year. And as you had mentioned, we'd only had, you know, maybe seen about 150 previously in pet-friendly shelters. That's, while it's not easy to manage, it is certainly a lot easier to manage than 1,500, right? And that's where we stepped in and helped fill the gaps, right? And plug those holes, right? In service to our community under the umbrella of the county, at the direction of the county to help better serve our community. So as a part of that, what did we learn? What were some lessons learned from last year that are helping us prepare as a community, from your perspective, for the next big one or major incident that we're looking at?
I think lessons learned. Well, first and foremost, we have stocked up on crates now. We have our Florida State Response Coalition donated more crates too. So our surplus is much more full and ready to go as far as that goes. Also, just to be prepared for a much longer duration of sheltering and having that type of infrastructure in place somewhere, perhaps somewhere, you know, safer, high and dry, but also that has more space to separate cats versus dogs. You know, it wasn't ideal last year in those step down shelters. We had cats and dogs in the same room. So looking forward, we're looking at different shelters that might be able to accommodate a slightly less stressful type of environment.
Yes, absolutely. And it's always ideal. And we talk about how evacuation shelters, they're really, it's a lifeboat, right? It's not a cruise ship, it's a lifeboat. So those situations to begin with are not ideal, right? It's meant to keep people and pets safe, right? When the wind is blowing outside. And it is, you know, again, it's that lifeboat, not a cruise ship. And it's really should be something of a last resort, right? In the event that you don't have anywhere else to go in order to stay safe. So while it is ideal to keep species separated, right, to keep stress levels down, we talk about felines, right? Felines can get so stressed, they get sick, right? And in that environment, illness spreads very quickly. Just as it does in people, right? Communal housing, right? Even for short periods of time, we want to try to get better at keeping those situations down and manageable. But unfortunately, they are inevitable. They are inevitable. But getting better at trying to keep those scenarios and situations down and manageable is definitely key. So that's always good to hear that we're working on trying to keep those species separate for the future, keeping their stress levels down in an already stressful situation and environment.
So for our staff members too.
That's right. That's right. You know, our staff members, it's just incredible work. I know your staff were there for 24, 48, 72 hours straight, right? You know, that's tough. That's tough stuff. Same thing here. Mm-hmm. We actually opened up this beautiful brand new building as a Category 5 rated building. So we, you know, just like you, invite our staff and their families and their pets to come and shelter here. So we're maintaining and keeping care of our pet population here and being able to deploy afterwards to places like the shelter in Palm Harbor that we helped staff last year. But let's move on to talk a little bit about where we're at as it relates moving the needle towards becoming a true no-kill community here in Pinellas County. And we're close, right? Mm-hmm. We're close. We're closing the gap. We talk about it every day,
yes.
Every day, and how we're closing the gap. But it can't be done without continuing to obviously communicate and coordinate, innovate, right? And the prevention piece.
Right.
The prevention piece is key and really followed by innovation, right? Mm-hmm. It's really a close second. So as of right now, as a county, we're still shy of the national mm-hmm. no-kill benchmark of 90%. And that's 90% of the adoptable pets leaving our facilities into homes that come in. But that number doesn't tell the whole story. It doesn't even begin to really scratch the surface. So when you look at partners like HSP and others operating in the high 90s, mm-hmm. right? We're in the high, HSP continually operates at 98, 99% live release rate. It really shows what's possible when we work together. But achieving no kill it's no small task, right? Or accomplishment. And it's not just a dream or a pipe dream, right? It is within reach. We're close. We're closer than we've ever been. But it's definitely going to take all of us. So from your perspective, what are some of the things that we should be working on and looking towards to achieve that?
Well, first of all, Dave, thank you for your Pinellas First objectives. I mean, you, or I should say mission, you from the beginning said, I'm putting our community first, which is the first huge step toward our life-saving capabilities, our Save 90. And beyond that, prevention. And so what we've done at a municipal animal shelter where we can't choose who comes through our door. Right. We take the aggressive. We take the sick and suffering. We yes. take every single four-legged friend that comes through that door.
That's right.
And, you know, from our perspective, that is difficult, especially when we have more limited resources. But right. then when partners like you step up and say, you know, we're here to help, what can we yeah. do? That's the first step. Yes. And then having the resources available from a social services standpoint when they walk in to try to divert that intake, to right. try to keep pets with their families, to offer more spaying and neutering, to offer more veterinary care at a lower cost, free pet food and free training when we talk about behavior issues being a really big part of the yes. The intake
yes.
that we see. And so I think being more proactive, having those partnerships, all of those things and strengthening that is going to be our key to getting to that no kill
yes.
in Pinellas County.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, our movement and in alignment with our mission, right? Providing, you know, preventing animal homelessness in our community. That is our mission, right? And providing care and assistance to animals in need. It really starts here. It starts in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And it's our responsibility to help this county with the resources, right?
Right.
In order to provide people, right, with the assistance they need to keep their mm-hmm. pets in their homes or as a last resort, accept their pets into this program here at HSP or transfer them from your facility, alleviating the pressure off of you,
right.
You know, and the team at Pinellas County Animal Services to intake more because you can't stop them. They're coming every mm-hmm. day, right? Despite all of our best efforts. But, you know, certainly at HSP here, and I definitely thank you for your praise, you know, and we can't do that though without our donors, the support of our community here and our board of directors. Without their support, we certainly wouldn't be able to do that. And without your partnership as well, and the resources that you provide us in order to help us help you, mm-hmm. right? But really, what are some of you alluded to some of that, right? The prevention piece. But let's drill down a little bit more into okay. that. What are some of those gaps in that prevention piece that would help from your perspective, move the needle towards a no-kill community?
One example, and actually you just also mentioned your board and how supportive they are. And I met them at our collaborative, the Research Labs exercise that you recently did to help really shape the future of Pinellas County for Humane Society.
Right.
And our board is also incredibly supportive, and that's where it starts.
Yes, they are.
At our last budget meeting, we were talking about our voucher program, which is, I think, one of the single most important proactive steps we can take to help our residents.
Right.
And that is by providing free spay and neuter, as well as core vaccines, if needed, for those that fall into our lower income categories, those that are on disability and government assistance, as well as our veterans, because they are so important to us here in the county, and we thank them for their service. And so those vouchers, to me, are the key. And our board recently at the budget meeting said, you know what, we need to give you more.
Yes.
We need this to be a priority.
Yes.
And so this coming year, we have doubled our voucher money that's available to the county. And starting October 1st, we're going to start that program back up again and really just support the residents and get them in there to get those vouchers.
It's that access to care piece.
Access to care,
yes. Access to care piece.
Yes.
It's so huge, and things that are, it's definitely a topic of conversation as we look to expand services here at HSP. That includes infrastructure growth to provide that access to care to folks who need it the most within our community.
Right.
Definitely a huge piece as part of that prevention.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. And this really, I think, highlights, you know, how we are, you know, mostly in lockstep in every step of the way that we go as we serve this community collectively, you know, and together. It really highlights just how far we can go as we align our resources, our values, and our strategies, and to address the homelessness population, the animal homelessness population, and the needs within this community here. So it really is a tremendous partnership that we have. So as we close this episode here, a couple key takeaways from our conversation. Animal homelessness, it really is a community-based problem, right? It's a community-based problem. It's one that we can solve through prevention with more of a social service approach to animal homelessness in closing the gaps within our community. Shelter diversion, keeping pets out of the shelter. It's multi-layered, right? It's not something that we just try to address on a whim with every situation. It's multi-layered, and it's very proactive in our approach to how we try to keep animals out of the shelter here in Pinellas County, all of our shelters. And of course, laws and services and the partnerships with not only with Jennifer and the team at Pinellas County Animal Services and us here at HSP, but it's partnerships with our elected officials. It's partnerships with other nonprofits in the community that necessarily aren't animal welfare organizations, right? They provide other services and connecting those pieces. It's knowing what resources are available to us holistically throughout the community. And we are, without a doubt, stronger together, right, as it relates to crisis or disaster response and the preparedness aspect. We are here at, you know, our community's disposal to provide those services, those essential services, pre, during, and post-event. Things we even talked about. We talked about the sheltering aspect during those storms, but both of us, we were out there delivering pet food to pods or points of distribution throughout the community, making sure that folks had pet food for their pets that were either coming back or were displaced from those storms. We didn't even touch on that piece, but that's another huge aspect that our organizations, you know, coordinated on and responded to support the community.
It's a very good point, Dave. There are mountains of sand out there and no access on the bridges. And so that was huge and so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And being a no-kill community, that status, it's within reach. We're there. It's within reach. And, but we can't do it alone, right? We need each other and we need our community to really help support us in working towards that status. So I think collectively and help fill in any gaps here as we wrap up this episode. But what we ask of the community is to really be proactive, right? Proactive in your approach to making sure that your four-legged friends, our family members, your fur babies have what they need. License your pets,
yes.
Right? Microchip your pets, right? Foster or volunteer with our organizations.
Oh, we'd love to have you. Yes.
Absolutely. It's so key to what we do here, those programs. Support humane policy, right? Let your elected officials know, right? Our legislators know that you support responsible pet ownership and humane policy within your community and our state. Report abuse or questionable activities, right? If you see something, say something, right? Yes. Report it to Pinellas County Animal Services. They're a resource to you.
Yes, and really also, too, in conjunction with that, submit videos, photos, because when our officers do their investigation, if they show up and like those, like at the puppy store and it's all clean, or at the, you know, the home where the dog is being tethered and the dog's inside, and we don't have that evidence, we really can't build a case and
That's
we really
right.
can't investigate. And yes. so really just in conjunction with reporting, submit that evidence as well. That really does help us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And always remember to adopt, don't shop,
please.
Right? Please adopt, right? We've got some really great fur baby that are here with us in all of our shelters that are ready for their forever homes.
They deserve that second chance.
They deserve that second or third or even fourth chance.
Exactly.
Right. And that's at a chance of a forever home. And it frees up that space for us to help continue to help homeless animals in our community. And always please remember that these systems and these programs and these processes, they only work when we show up, together for the animals. Right, for the animals and in support of our community and our neighbors. So we really appreciate all that you do as a community to support us in our efforts to help you. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining me today here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for all that you do and what your team does at Pinellas County Animal Services, what our commissioners do for us. Last Friday was a tremendous testament to that and celebration of your new medical facility that we're going to be partnering on as well. We're going to be visiting often providing services out of that facility as well. So we're very excited. So if today is today's episode is something that sparks something in you, share it, right? Please share it. Share it with your neighbor, share it with your friends. Talk to your neighbors about licensing and microchipping your pet, right? Support your local shelter. Speak up when something doesn't feel right or look right. We'll be back soon with more episodes. We're excited about that. More people working behind the scenes here at HSP and throughout our community, and more ways that you can be a part of this compassionate community that we're building together. So until next time, thank you for caring. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.